Welcome to Call Forder Connect, the podcast where a call can make all the difference in someone's life. I'm Kim Clyden, and each week we'll explore something beautifully simple but profoundly powerful, picking up the phone and calling four or more people. Four real conversations, four chances to remind someone they matter. This movement was created by Charles and Tracy Alder, who've spent decades supporting Australians through fire, flood, drought, and just as devastating, silence. Because loneliness isn't just a feeling. It's a quiet crisis, chipping away at our mental health, fueling anxiety and depression, making people feel like they don't belong. Left unchecked, it can become life-threatening. Together, we can break the cycle of isolation, remind our friends and loved ones they're seen, valued, and never alone. In each episode, we'll hear stories from people making connection a habit. Community leaders, everyday Aussies, and voices from around the world who are proving that something small can have a massive impact. So let's get into it, because the world doesn't need more noise. It needs more human connection. Loneliness is often described as a quiet crisis. But for couples counsellor and sex therapist Zoe Cox, it's something even greater. She believes loneliness is the single biggest threat to humanity. Zoe's deep interest in relationships, love, intimacy, and parenting has shaped a career devoted to helping couples and families find connection where it matters most. Known for her insight, depth, and playfulness, she brings comfort and clarity to the complexities of intimacy and sexuality, offering lightness in spaces that can feel heavy or overwhelming. Having grown up in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales and later working in rural communities, Zoe experienced firsthand how some of the most isolated regions can also be the most connected. She credits those salt-of-the-earth people with giving her both an appreciation of nature and a profound respect for genuine human relationships. Now, as a new mother, she's passionate about supporting expectant parents as they navigate the profound changes of family life. Welcome, Zoe. We met through our work with Charles and Tracy Alder at Rural Aid in 2019. Having counselled many rural families, how do you think natural disasters like drought, fire and floods might exacerbate isolation to be the tipping point into loneliness or depression?
For me, what I observed is that those natural disasters, on one hand, they're inevitable if you're going to live in that environment. And it's all about the highs and lows, right? But what I observed, when those droughts hit, or when those floods, or when those fires hit, it had two huge effects. It would bring people together in a way like nothing else, and that was an incredibly positive outcome. And then the negative impact, in my opinion, was that it exacerbated whatever already existed in terms of a struggle. So if a family was experiencing a stressor of, say, financial burden, that was only exacerbated in a time of natural disaster. Or if a couple was experiencing, say, marital issues, that was only exacerbated in times of natural disasters. So it was almost like it exaggerated what was already there.
The other thing I've talked to people about is that loneliness can sometimes be construed perhaps as depression. I think there's a similar pattern for people where you start feeling lonely, but you withdraw because you're sort of internalizing everything, and then you become isolated and then the loneliness sets in. How do we identify that we might be moving beyond those bouts of lonely that people can feel in everyday life?
Yeah, it's such a good differentiation that you make. Depression results from a number of different possible factors, whereas I think a really simple way to think about loneliness is that it's the opposite to connection, right? And someone can be experiencing depression whilst being connected, right? But someone who is genuinely connected rarely feels lonely. Now, an example of that is we have this stereotype that if you live out in the middle of nowhere with no one around, you're probably going to be lonely. But if that person is surrounded by, say, animals, and they have a passion for animals, and they've built up these relationships with those animals, they might not be lonely. They might, in fact, feel so connected. It's just their version of connection. And so I think the best way to almost review your own state is ask yourself, what is the meaning of connection to me? Because connection looks so different to a lot of different people. And if you can define what your version of connection is, you can then ask yourself, okay, am I connected? Where are the deficits? Where can I guess, take action to increase my connection in the version that suits me? Because if you are not, there is a high chance that you're perhaps starting to feel lonely. And then that's where the connection subsides. So it's almost like both the cause and then the result of loneliness. And so once we start withdrawing, it feels right. If we're lonely, it feels right to do that. And then it can become this confusing process of thinking that's what we need when really it's the opposite.
Have you ever felt lonely or experienced loneliness yourself, Zoe?
It's a really good question. I think I have experienced missing people. I don't believe I felt lonely, and I probably put that down to always having maintained a strong connection to myself. Okay. And what I mean by that is really examining how I'm feeling in a particular setting, or really examining what are the values that are important to me and how can I align that with my life, or really looking at, okay, am I doing this because people say that that's what you should do, or am I doing it because I want to? So, you know, the thought that comes to mind is traveling for 16 months. I just turned 18 after school, and I was traveling on my own through South America and Europe and India, and it was just an exceptional year. And at about the 14-month mark, I watched Into the Wild, which I'm sure most of you have seen, and if you haven't, it's a brilliant movie about a true story about someone who tries to remove themselves from society with so many good reasons and goes and lives in a bus up in Alaska. And it's just this incredibly beautiful story about freedom and exploration, but also family trauma and then loneliness in the end. And the line he shares at the end, and it's not going to spoil it, but he says, happiness is only real when shared. And I got to the end of the movie and I remember calling my dad at 4 a.m. in tears saying, I miss you so much. So I don't think that was a point of loneliness, because I was surrounded by these beautiful colleagues in India at the time working on an animal shelter volunteering. But in that moment, it was just the reminder of just how important connection to the people I love was in my life. And I guess there's, you know, there's beautiful meaning in that story around just how important it is to remain connected to the people that matter.
I'm having trouble not smiling because I'm looking at you on Zoom with your beautiful new baby boy, Marley, who's 7 months old in your lap. And I just can't stop smiling. He's so adorable. So if people listening can hear a noise in the background occasionally, yes, it's a baby and he's absolutely gorgeous. Zoe, one thing that I thought while I was watching you is that new mums often experience that removal from their normal day-to-day. So interacting with friends, interacting with colleagues, and their husband's off to work and they're at home alone with a baby. So being alone can often trigger, you know, feelings of loneliness. And I think looking at you, I'm wondering if that's something you've encountered much in your counselling work or your friend circle or even yourself now that you're a new mum.
Sure. Look, this is an area I am so incredibly passionate about. So just pull me up if I talk too long about it. I think the experiences that are negative surrounding motherhood are often exacerbated by a strong cultural narrative that it has to look a certain way. And if I can be a bit more specific, I see a lot of people, as a result of, say, the exhaustion that comes with sleep deprivation and, you know, naps. And Miley's playing with something in the background. Sorry about that noise. As a result of these things, we often spend more time inside because it just feels too hard to do things. We're just not that energized. And so even the fact that, you know, babies should have nap schedules and be in dark rooms and be sleeping in a cot or a bed, those kinds of things only exaggerate a sense of inflexibility through maternity leave. So yes, I work with a lot of new moms, and I actually love supporting parents who are about to enter parenthood, because my biggest piece of advice is, whilst it can often come as a surprise, or whilst there's certain things that get in the way of planning, I can't recommend enough to visualize and to set up how you want it to look for you, your version of motherhood, right? Not anyone else's, not the society's version, you know, not your parents' version, not, I mean, unless it aligns with you, of course, but it has to be yours. And I actually sometimes see that some of the resources available to us are not necessarily that supportive of connection, but sometimes only encourage more divides. So the construct of, say, a mother's group is wonderful. It's the idea, it's the idea that we can connect around a shared experience. But really, sometimes the comparison and the sense of, am I doing it right, overtakes that idea of connect, or overtakes that experience of connection so much that it only exacerbates a sense of shame or worry or confusion as to whether it's supposed to look this way. So personally, I didn't join a mother's group, partly for that reason, and also partly because I was lucky that a few other friends were having babies at the same time. The irony, though, we are connected, you know, over the phone or sending photos, and we'll catch up here and there, but we haven't actually spent all that much time together, because my vision of maternity leave, personally, I had one goal, and it was to get outside and adventure with my baby as much as I could. Right now, that might sound like hell to someone else, and that's just fine. But for me, that was my version of new motherhood, because I knew out in nature, I connect to my baby, I connect to my surroundings. It's all about connection. And the other line I always said was, rather than putting on another load of washing, I'll always go for a walk instead. Now, these are just examples of trying to implement approaches that minimize this sense of duty and isolation, and I guess encourage more this sense of connection with your baby. And I do believe we're on our own in terms of being, like, being surrounded by adults, but we're not on our own. We've got this beautiful little being who we've not only created, but we get the privilege to raise. And in my opinion, if we come back to remembering that, it's pretty hard to feel lonely when there's that sense of connection with that little person.
What you just said makes so much sense. You know, 36 years ago, when I had my children, we didn't know as much as we know now. My daughter, 12 years ago, was given a list as long as your arm of foods to avoid, you know, things that were bad for her, things that she should. So the expectations between my birth in the late 60s to my children's birth in the late 80s just changed exponentially. And I thought, this is just crazy. Like, I thought there was enough expectation on me through my mother, and what she learned and what she thought I should be doing was enough. But I can tell you, I threw the rule book out the window anyway. And I spent, like you, a lot of time outdoors with my children. We went to parks, we went to friends, we went to picnics, because it was that sense of adventure, but also being in the great outdoors, they were so much happier and we were learning so much more in nature. So I completely agree. You know, it's a very individual thing, but whatever you can do to form connections either within yourself and the home and your baby, or in your network, that's whatever's best for you. I think from there, as a mother, you know, moving forward, what do you think you'll teach Marley about connection?
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. And I guess in that sense, it's already happening. You know, I visualize a version of Marley where his default self is security and trust of others. obviously with discernment and discretion. But in my mind, part of that is when we meet someone new, feeling that happiness inside me. It's like almost an energy as I cuddle him and look to him and look to the person. It's almost like encouraging this sense of not so much enthusiasm, but more curiosity. You know, here he is. We're both laughing here because he's just looking at Kim as we're speaking and just smiling. And it's that sense of, okay, when we meet up as a family, sharing that role of playing with him and raising him. In my mind, it is that community. It takes the village to raise them. But I think, I guess, to be a bit more specific, I want to entrench in him this sense that connection is whatever you want to make it, and it has to suit you. So if social media, for example, one day, and I'll be one of those mums who will very much try and keep screens away from him for as long as possible, I very much understand that that's going to be a very hard thing, and but I'm still going to try. But one day when he's, you know, exploring the idea of social media, really talking to him honestly about what version of that actually serves him or makes him happy, because I think there is a version that can for different people, but the mainstream, you know, check it every 5 minutes or check it every day might not suit him and probably doesn't suit a lot of people, as an example. Or, you know, having a full calendar booked with all these social events across life, is that his form of connection? Maybe, but also maybe not. It might be about having a ritual of going and visiting his granddad once a week on a particular day. But that's one thing I think is really, really powerful, is forming rituals of connection within variety. So, yes, I've been taking him camping since 2.5 weeks, and that sounds terrible to some mums, and I wouldn't encourage it unless it appeals. But another person's version of that might be, I'm going to walk down to the lake once a week, you know, always going to go to the lake, and we're going to look at the ducks, and there's going to be a sense of ritual around that, so that the exploration is entrenched in connection. And yeah, this sense of repetition, but in a positive way.
Given that you've returned to work, how difficult has that been, because you have established the connection with your beautiful boy?
Again, this comes from, I guess, I planned, motherhood has been something I've looked forward to for a very long time. And I did a lot of planning. And again, like I said before, planning isn't for everyone, but the short of the long is, I really visualized what I wanted it to look like, and I really wanted options for myself. So I said to all my clients, I've allowed for a year off. That's what I have sort of set myself up for, but I might come back early. It'll totally depend on like my baby and myself. And because I loved it so much, I actually decided to come back to work from 5 months, just one day a fortnight. That felt so achievable. My partner was able to mind him, and I feel really, really lucky and grateful that that was possible to me, because what that would mean is then I don't have to just go from maternity leave straight back to full-time work. It sets myself up to really divide myself between motherhood and work. And the result has been beautiful. In fact, I love my job, and having that connection with clients and with my work, whilst also being able to return to what is just such a precious time, in my opinion. And it does go so fast, you know, you've got to listen when people say it goes fast. But just feeling like there was that sense of prioritization of motherhood, and then a lovely day, a fortnight, which I actually then look forward to, where I can work.
I just love that. And I can see that Marley definitely needs your attention right now. He's telling stories of his own, which we haven't been quite able to capture. But I'd love to just thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience with others, in the hopes that it may very well help them. And I will leave you to enjoy your magical time with Marley. Thanks, Zoe.
Thanks so much, Kim.
The beautiful Zoe Cox with baby Marley, sharing why loneliness must be taken seriously, how intimacy and connection intersect, and why strengthening our closest relationships can ripple out to transform the way we live, love, and belong. To get involved in this movement, go to callfor.org and sign up to set up your call list. You'll receive reminders to call those you care about and help them feel connected and valued. Until next week, call 4 to connect.